and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for you spending it with me. Here for 30 minutes, we're tuning into God's frequency today, WGOD. God always has a word for you. All you got to do is go to where he speaks. He's got a word, a now word. Because remember, the word is living. It's not dead and buried. It's living and active. It's not dull. It's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It knows you like a book. That's where we're going here today. And it's always the focal point of this program is the Word of God. Preach the Word of God here. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do here today. This sermon here is entitled, Do You Know the Time? It's sort of built on my associate pastor's sermon from the week before, which was Watch. There's page after page of stuff, information the Bible gives us about watching and the adamant warnings about watching. Remember, well, I don't know if you remember or if you know it or not. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 that Jesus is coming a second time apart from sin to all those who look or all those who are watching for him. Does that mean you won't be saved if he comes at 4 in the morning? No, that's not what that means, but it means you ought to be living for him. You don't want to be caught with your pants down when he comes back. Okay, let's get into this message now. Again, for more information on me, Paul at WGODradio.com is the is my email address. IslandCommunityChurch.net is our church's website. I encourage you to go there. There's some 10 years worth of audio sermons uploaded on there. And again, that's IslandCommunityChurch.net. Our Sunday sermons this Sunday, I'm back in this little mini-series, Priority Mail. It's a look at the Lord's seven letters that he dictated to the Apostle John to the angels or messengers or pastors of these seven churches. So that's where we're at Sunday. Wednesday, midweek Bible study, that would be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We're in the Gospel of Luke. Love to see you. Luke chapter 10, we're having an awesome time in our midweek Roll Out the Blackboard Bible study. So, okay, here today and tomorrow, do you know the time?
All right, praise God. Everyone have a handout. If you need one of these, which was in the bulletin, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. Anyone need one? Book, chapter, and verse of everywhere where we're going to be here this morning. Oh, I'm sorry, Dwayne. There we go. Usually Danny's back there waving things at me like a madman, telling me to turn my microphone on. That's for you, Danny. Are you ready? Building on what I heard in this church last week when I was out sick with COVID, I love that. Watch was the name of his sermon. And Carol's stopwatch for a background picture as well had a profound effect on me when I saw that. So this sermon is entitled, Do You Know the Time? Or perhaps better yet, pardon me, but do you know the time? There's a million ways we can answer that inquiry, right? Do you know the time? What am I asking? What would be your first response? Am I asking for the time of day? Am I asking for what season we're in? If you asked Magic Johnson, he would say, anyone old enough to remember him around here? It's showtime. Is it work time? playtime, party time, or is it in the meantime? Or is it in my lifetime? You might ask a Navy guy and he would say, is it maritime? A sports fanatic might ask, is it, you know, when your wife says, honey, when's dinner? When's this game gonna be over? You say, oh, 2 minutes. We're at the 2 minute warning, right? 2 minutes. But 2 minutes is never 2 minutes. So a sports fanatic might say, it's overtime. Jesus might say, and he does say, it's high time. Jesus also says, the time is coming. And now is. I was thinking of what Solomon said. He had something to say too, didn't he? Let's see if I can find that. He says, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Roger McGuinn, I hear you. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, and a time for war, and a time for peace. Nevertheless, do you know the time? Naturally, the Bible has a lot to say to address this question. What time is it? We know that at the end of time, the Lord Jesus tells us that this is going to happen. We call it harvest time. Matthew 13:40, he says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age or time period or epoch that we're in now. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now right here in the same chapter 13, in case they didn't understand the parable, he'll give them another one which has different parts but the same lesson. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathered up some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. Or so it will be once we have run out of time. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from amongst the just, cast them into the furnace of fire, and they will be wailing, the Bible says, and gnashing of teeth. Notice the multiple common denominators there. The first, these things happen once we've run out of time in this world. Number two, the angels do the separating. Not your old boss, not some old enemy of yours that hates you, but the angels will do the separating. And number three, the third common denominator, is what it will sound like. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. What a scene this is. All of you without children, imagine what wailing sounds like. You with children, just another day, right? What time is it? Wailing. Sorry, but a little bit of humor is needed to soften the blow from what's going to happen here once the people in this world have run out of chronos, time. What else happens when God's hourglass runs out of sand? The Bible declares this will be the prevailing thing once you are out of time in this world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. It says this of the coming Antichrist. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Now, thank God there's a comma there. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, once God's end times timepiece runs out of minutes, you will become a very religious person. I encourage you to be religious now. Bow the knee to him today while it costs you nothing and cost him everything. Because all of those people that don't give a rip about religion, who call it a crutch for weak people, they are going to become very religious coming up soon. All that dwell on the earth will bow the knee to the Antichrist and call him God. 2 Thessalonians 2 said he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you don't bow the knee to him today, you're going to bow the knee to this God. All that dwell on the earth will worship him. The Bible makes you a promise here. If you're not a believer, by the time that we're out of time, you will indeed worship the Antichrist. You heard it here first, maybe. If you do not bow the knee and call him Lord before we've run out of time, time for you could be the stop sign at the end of this parking lot. Or the fool driver out here on the road. Or a banana peel in the kitchen. You just don't know. You just don't know. Look at the response of people when Jesus returns to planet Earth. Listen to this, Revelation 1:7. It says, behold, he's coming with the cloud. That's Jesus. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. Even so, amen. There's that crazy word wail again, out of nowhere. Funny, is that going to be your response when Jesus comes back? Are you going to rejoice if you're here, or are you going to wail? Rejoice. This word wail, kalpos, means to beat one's breast like King Kong in anguish. That is, you look up, you see, and then you look down and you see 666 on your hand, and then you say, I guessed wrong. I guessed wrong. That crazy preacher was right. I guessed wrong. And that's what it means to run out of time. So let's ask some people. Let's say the Apostle Paul. Hey, there's the Apostle Paul. Hey, Apostle, do you know the time? And his response is this, Romans 13:11. He says, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wahoo! I knew he would be able to answer that. I knew he could and would answer the question. Paul's answer to you is, wake up, people. It's a high time to awake out of sleep. Knowing the time. That is, that Jesus is no longer sitting on the throne, but he's risen up and he's standing at the threshold, ready to turn this evil world right side up again. And Paul's cheating, you see, he knows that because he's been to the other side. He doesn't need faith that these things are going to come to pass. He's an eyewitness. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He knows heaven is real. He knows Jesus is real. He knows Jesus' return is real. And then Paul says, knowing the time. All right, now maybe you say a minute. He wrote that 2,000 years ago when nothing has happened. So what makes Paul saying it any different than Pastor Paul saying it, right? 2,000 years, logical question. Let me answer that question for you. Once Jesus left this earth for the last time and a cloud lifted him up from their sight, once that happened, that put you and I in the last hour of God's timepiece. Once he was taken up away, we entered into that time. And it's just like football. When's that ziti going to be done? Well, 2 minutes. Don't tell your wife 2 minutes, or else she's going to crown you with that frying pan that's got the meatballs in it. Because 2 minutes is never 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is exactly 2 minutes. So don't turn into an atheist because you're still here. Just means he reckons time different than you do. Hey, look, there's the Apostle Peter walking down the street. Hey, Peter, what time is it? And then Peter turns and says, you know what, Smedley, I'm glad you asked. Peter says this, for the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those that don't obey the gospel? Then he says this, if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? I kind of wish we wouldn't have asked him for his opinion. He just said that the righteous is scarcely going to be saved. You see, in all those instructions Pastor Darren read to you last Sunday, he had pages and pages of instructions for you so that your watching would pay off and that you wouldn't be caught off guard when you run out of time. He told you what to do. He's got list after list after list to help you recognize. And that you wouldn't be caught off guard or unawares. Back again to the Apostle Paul. He says, do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us, you see, here comes his solution. Notice the command. Therefore, let us. So now he's going to tell you how to do it. First he commands, he says, get up. Stop wasting your time. Smell the coffee. Jesus is coming back soon. I know it because I've been to heaven. He's saying, I've been up to the third heaven. I've seen things that aren't lawful for me to speak to you that I've seen. But I've seen it. I've seen it. Here comes his solution. He said, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. All right, number one, cast off or put away the works of darkness. That is the works of your hands. What are you doing with your life? Whom are you serving? Who do you work for? If what you do causes people to glorify God or praise his name, then those are the works of light. If what you do enable people to sin and help people get further and farther away from God, then you're on the wrong side. And those are the works of darkness. What would be some of those jobs? Bartender? Blackjack dealer, Planned Parenthood worker, and a dishonest school teacher that spreads lies. Like you came from a chimp. Or you can be whatever sex you want to be when you grow up. Things like that. You're on the side of darkness if that describes you. You know, I remember back in the day, I once worked at a gourmet wine shop that sold all kinds of alcohol, tobacco, and chocolate. And I prayed one day, I never forget, before I went to work, I said, Lord, give me a sign if you will, because I felt he was calling me into ministry and I wasn't in it. I said, give me a sign if you want me to quit this job. So that same day, this stranger walks into my job and he looked around oddly with a crooked look on his face and he said, my, oh my, you've got every sin covered here. You've got alcohol, tobacco, and chocolate. And he walked out and I quit the next day. Duh, hello? Think God's speaking to me? Those were just the wrong things for me. Number two, put on the armor of light. Remember, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So clothe yourself in God's light. What does that mean? Well, your armor protects you. So this verse means the protective cover on you is living a godly life. Walk in the light. Walk with God like Enoch did. Remember what the Bible says about Enoch? He walked with God and then he was not. God took him away. Just walk in the light. If you're walking with God, walking in the light, no evil can hurt you. No evil can befall you because you're walking in the light. Maintain godly works that draw people to God, not away from God. Like a Christian teacher. Number two, a help center. Help share the truth with women who might not know that there's help available to them. Not just for pregnancy, but for drugs and alcohol too. Sure beats being a bartender. Go out here and help people. Be a light, shining light to people. Boy, that place that Larry Spangler was involved in, that crisis, Agape Pregnancy Center, and the other, crisis pregnancy, or even here. If you are feeling down and out and feeling like you're not making a difference in the kingdom, I challenge you. You tell Les that you want to come in here and you want to help on one Saturday that the food pantry's open. And you watch what happens to you. You see, I know the secret now. You're not keeping my rear end out of here anymore. I know the secret. God's at work here when this food pantry is open. And I encourage you, that's the cure anytime when you're down or if you're discouraged, is to go out and do something for somebody else. Bake them a cake. Take them to the store. Provide something for someone that's got nothing. It'll work every time. That's what I had listed under here as putting on the armor of light. Walk in the light. God is looking for a few good men and women to bear witness to the truth. You see, once the smoke clears, church, you are either on God's side or you are against him. Listen to how James put it, James 4:4. He said, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Then he says, I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Then he goes on, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. So, do you know the time? Now, in the meantime, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or lewdness or lust or strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And this is a choice that you have to make. God says, here is the way. Walk ye in it. Okay, the last thing I want to do this morning is I want to give you a list to help you recognize what time it is. I think I got 12 things here. If you guys are visiting, you might actually get lucky and get out of here in an hour today. I got to work my way up to an hour and a half, you see, after being out last week. Okay. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Let me read this to you. I'm in this New Living Translation. I said, I wanted to give you a list to help you recognize what time this is. Matthew 24, 3. Later, when Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, what sign will signal your return and the end of the world, or the end of this time period? So Jesus answered them in verse 5 and said, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Okay, here's your list. Now remember, Darren gave you the reasons why and the how-to regarding watching. I'm giving you the list to show you that you are running out of time and that you need to be watching. He telling you to watch. I'm telling you, you're about out of time in this world. Jesus is telling you that we're about out of time. And you'll know it by these signs that we're running out of time.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
I seek you, my soul.